Hey everyone, it's Ryan here with Cardinal Aviation. Welcome to episode number 32 of the Audio Briefings. Before we get going, I just want to ask that you subscribe to this podcast in Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, and be sure to follow us on Instagram at Cardinal Aviation. Today, I want to kind of going back to basics. I mean, everything really goes back to basics and fundamentals as we've talked about before, but I want to talk about forced approaches. And the reason why I want to talk about this is whenever I'm working with somebody, and even when I'm flying on my own, I always do a takeoff emergency briefing. So what's going to happen at a certain speed on the ground in a single engine airplane? At what point are we going to attempt to turn back to the runway versus land straight ahead or make gentle turns left and right? These are all important key points to know for the airplanes that we're flying. Now, I have the privilege of flying a lot of different types of airplanes on a fairly regular basis, and these numbers are different for every single airplane. So I recently worked with somebody who's got lots of time on one airplane. They're transitioning to a new airplane, and we're sitting there in the run-up bay, and we did the takeoff emergency briefing, and he said, if anything happens in the air above 800 feet, I'm going to turn back to the airport. And I already knew in the back of my mind, that's not happening, but figured, okay, we'll try it. So I've got my little, you know, code words with the local tower there. And sure enough, at 800 feet, we pulled the engine and there wasn't a hope in hell we were coming back to the airport. So we ended up trying, getting it on the ground, going back up. And I said, all right, what do you think your new number is? And we tried 1,000. 1,000 wasn't happening in that airplane either. But there's a lot of factors that come into play with forced approaches, particularly on takeoff. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but also from higher altitudes in cruise or wherever you might be. So this could be an hours long topic. I'm going to try and keep it short. And I want to just reiterate that this is not flight instruction. I'm just spitballing here my thoughts on the topic. Feel free to let me know yours, maybe where you disagree with me. I love it when people disagree. It means that we can learn from one another. We can talk this out. And if you are a flying student, I want you to do whatever your flight instructor tells you to do on this, because they're teaching to the syllabus. I tend to coach and go more from real world experience. Now, that said, knock on wood, I've never had an engine failure in a single engine airplane. I've had an engine failure in a twin. I've done some precautionary shutdowns, but I am yet to have an engine failure in a single. I know it's coming at some point, which is why it's really important to stay sharp on this stuff. So, couple of things. We talked about the briefing. We talked about knowing what altitude you can make a turn back to the airport. But I mean, really, the turn back to the airport and what altitude that is going to depend on a lot of factors. And I mean, everyone thinks, okay, aircraft weight. Yeah, that's one of them. How fast are you climbing? So do you do a nice nose down cruise climb to keep the engine cool and to have visibility over the nose? Or do you climb with purpose at VY or VX to get as much altitude as quick as you can? When you turn crosswind and maybe a downwind departure, how far is that downwind away from the runway? Can you get back to the airport from there? How long or short is the runway? I mean, if you have a long runway and you're able to take off, let's say in the first quarter or the first third of it, you're able to get a fair amount of altitude before you cross the departure end of that runway, which is going to give you that much better chance to turn around and get back to what would be the reciprocal end, trying to make an emergency back. On a shorter runway, it's going to be further away from you by the time you hit your 1,000 feet or 800 feet or whatever your number is. So these are all considerations: weight, runway length, density, altitude, your climb speed, which in turn will be your rate of climb. These are all things that make a difference and things that we need to think about before we take off if we want to have a successful return back to the runway. Now, we also know that there are times, especially below that altitude or once we've gotten a little ways away from the airport, that coming back to the airport just is not going to be a reality. And then we get into discussing and talking about field selection. Where are we going to land? You know, trees or water or a road, or what is it going to be? I mean, again, this could be an hours long discussion. That's, we could do that over beers at some point. We'll touch on that here a little bit. So let's run through a little scenario. So we've briefed that if anything happens below, let's say for the airplane of the day, let's use 1,000 feet as our reference point. Below 1,000 feet, we're going to make gentle turns left and right, and we're going to find a suitable place to land. Above 1,000 feet, we'll attempt to turn back to the runway. So we're climbing away. We're at, you know, VY or VX for the first little bit there to climb with purpose and get away from the ground and give ourselves the best chance of getting back to the airport. And the engine sputters, or we lose the engine. Immediately, we need to get to our best glide speed, and that's a speed we need to know for every airplane we fly. But we don't want to waste any time getting turned back around towards the airport. So this comes down to combining tasks. So I don't necessarily want to keep the wings level and pitch for the glide speed, meanwhile getting further away from the airport. There's two things that are going to bleed off speed. One is going to be pitching for your speed if you need to bleed off airspeed to get to your glide speed, in which case you're going to raise the nose. The other thing that naturally bleeds off speed is a level turn, and the level turn is going to bleed off your speed real quick. So we can translate or exchange airspeed for altitude, or we can exchange airspeed for directional change back to the runway. In this case, I want to translate airspeed to directional change back to the runway. Boom, engine failure. You know, the Sully factor, there's going to be a couple seconds for the holy crap, what just happened? The denial, the realization, and then the action. Nothing ever happens right away there. So now we're turning back to the airport. We've established our best glide speed, and we need to start making a decision. Are we going to make it, or are we not going to make it? Where are the winds? Is this going to work? Hoping to make it, you can hope all you want. If it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. And we could do everything perfectly, and sometimes the stars do not align where we are not going to get back to that runway. We are not going to get to our desired field. So it is important to have our target spot, but also be scanning, and this will come into when we're picking fields, for a plan B or a plan C. This isn't working. What's my next choice? And I'm always looking for, there's my target, but is there a better choice? Okay, I'm going to my, the target's not going to work. I'm going to my plan B. As soon as I'm going to my plan B, I'm looking at that, but I'm also scanning saying, okay, is there a better choice now? Is there somewhere else I can go that is going to give me a greater chance of success? And when I say success, I mean a survivable landing. Survivable, number one, walking away, even better. If we can preserve as much of the airplane as possible, best. But for me, a successful forced landing is something that is going to be survivable with the least amount of injury possible. Let's say in this case, we translated our airspeed to directional change. We're pointed back at the runway. I don't necessarily want to do a 180. I just want to get to the airport. So if we have a nice long runway, that might mean aiming for a third or a quarter of the way down the runway and turning to align with the runway heading, almost like we're on an on-ramp to a highway. So aiming towards the first third or the middle of the runway, and then intercepting that track as we're coming over the runway. We don't want to wait too late to do that. I've seen that as well, where we're just reaching the runway and then we get into this like cranking right turn to get onto runway heading. What inevitably happens there is, remember, we're going to bleed off airspeed as we make a change in heading or direction. And then oftentimes that's where airspeed's bleeding off, and then inside rudder in the direction of the turn starts being applied in order to kick the airplane around the turn, and we're doing the skidding turn. And if you know where I'm going with that, once you get low on airspeed, low to the ground with a bank angle and inside rudder, we're just asking for a stall spin. If you realize that you're putting inside rudder in and you're getting into this slow speed, high bank, skidding turn to try and make a runway, honestly, level the wings, just put it into the infield, put it into the trees next to the runway. You've got a better chance of walking away from that airplane if you fly it into whatever is there controlled, rather than skid turning around and potentially stall spinning into pavement or whatever happens to be at the runway. So everything we've talked about here has had to do with returning to an airport. The principles don't really change if we're away from the airport environment. I mean, what is going to give us the greatest opportunity to make a safe landing? Altitude. I mean, altitude and airspeed are life, and altitude gives us time. So yeah, it's, you know, nice to cruise around 1,000 feet to off the deck, where I do it all the time. And we understand the risk that we're taking when we do that. We understand that we're limiting our options. So if we're going to do that, we always try to stay over or near an area that gives us suitable landing options. Given the choice, you know, maybe go a little bit higher, give yourself some time. So when and if something does happen, we have the opportunity, as we said, there's my spot, that's my plan A, and I'm looking, is that the best spot? I'm not just going to pick the one field that I see and say, that's it, come hell or high water, that's where I'm putting it. I'm always looking for a better option, a safer option, something that is going to set me up for success. If you have enough altitude, yeah, go ahead and you're going to do your cause checks, you know, switch your fuel tanks, make sure your mixture is rich, fuel pump on, mags on both, you know, maybe attempt a restart if you have time. If we're doing this 180 back, you know, close to the ground after departure, I'm not messing with that stuff. I just want to get it on the ground and just focus on flying my airplane. But again, that's up for a discussion between you and your flight instructor or your coach or whoever you happen to trust to guide you for your airplane. This is a really just important thing just to keep on the back of our minds, to practice. A really nice way to practice this without going out and, you know, telling the tower, oh, I want to practice forced approach, is when you're coming in to land at an airport, whether it's your home airport or a new airport, make a game of it with yourself. And I know we don't want to, you know, pull the power back to idle and shot cool engines or any of that nasty stuff, but you can work on your judgment in terms of how far your airplane is going to glide in a given configuration at a given altitude, at a given weight, by when you're on your way into the airport, making a decision at what point you can pull the throttle back and make a power off approach and landing. Try this a couple times. Try it at some different airports where the sight picture is going to be different. And if there's no traffic, maybe try it on the downwind. And this will give you a really good idea of the gliding capability of your airplane. And also, the level and accuracy of your judgment in knowing how far you can get your airplane and how you can manage your airplane's energy to get it safely on the ground. Another thing that people that have been flying for a while do is anytime we're flying, I'm always like looking around subconsciously, trying to figure out, okay, if it happened right now, where am I going to go? And then a couple minutes later, if it happened now, where am I going to go? Keeping in mind that the most suitable location isn't necessarily going to be right in front of you. It might be just behind you. It might be off your left, or it might be off your right where it is hard to see. So, you know, go ahead, do some gentle turns, always looking for a suitable place to put the airplane. I love talking about the theory of forced approaches. Knock on wood, like I said, I haven't had to do it, but it's something that we're always thinking about, because at some point airplanes are safe and engines are reliable, but things do happen. And it is a vital skill that we need to stay up on, and we need to understand that a forced approach and the gliding capability of one airplane is not the same to the next. I mean, a Cirrus is going to be different from a 172, is going to be different from the TBM, is going to be different from a Cessna 206, is going to be different from my Bearhawk. So it's really important that we're comfortable and aware of the capabilities of each machine that we do fly. All right, I feel like I'm rambling a little bit. I'm going to leave the forced approach conversation there. I'm working on some interviews coming up with some really interesting aviators, and I'm going to drop their names here because I'm super excited about it. We're just working on nailing down times. And the first one, and I don't know which order they'll be in, but if you're Canadian, if you've ever flown on Air Canada and you've ever opened up En Route magazine, I always go straight to this column. I believe it's called From the Flight Deck, and it's by Captain Doug Morris. And Captain Doug Morris is an airline pilot. He is an author. He's got, I believe, 2 or 3 books out, everything from How to Have a Career in Aviation to Aviation Weather for Pilots. This guy is passionate about learning, passionate about teaching, passionate about sharing aviation with not only pilots, but the layman. And I love how he writes his column, because it really breaks down these aviation concepts that are really hard to explain to the average traveling public or the non-pilot, and he finds this way to do it. So I really don't know a lot about Doug's background, but I'm looking forward to talking to him here shortly. Another person I'm looking forward to talking to is Sarah Rovner from Full Throttle Aviation LLC. And Sarah, again, is an airline pilot. She flies the 757-767, but what's more interesting than that, and I know, you know, being an airline pilot's cool and all, but she is an international ferry pilot. And when I mean international ferry pilot, I mean she flies small single-engine airplanes across the North Atlantic and does it solo to deliver airplanes from North America to Europe and vice versa. I know she did a Piper Saratoga a couple weeks ago, and I believe this week or next week she's doing a Lance Air, which, if you know a Lance Air, it's a very small two-seat airplane, and she's taken that over the North Atlantic. And I'm really excited to talk to her about the challenges of that, about ferry flying, about being a ferry pilot, and some of what it takes to do that. So those are some really interesting interviews that I think you will enjoy. I know I'm going to enjoy them. And yeah, if you want any other information on Cardinal Aviation, if there's anything we can do to help make your aviating safer, to help transform the way you fly, to support you, please get in touch with us. info@cardinalaviation.ca. Our website's www.cardinalaviation.ca. Instagram @cardinalaviation. We love your feedback. We love your questions. If you disagree with anything I said today, let me know. I'll read your email out. I might even get you on here. We can discuss it. We can hang or fly this whole forced approach conversation. But yeah. All right, guys. Thank you very much for your time. As I always say, fly safely. Never stop learning.